It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Are you ready? Okay, hey, welcome back, Double Teamed fam. We're just starting season 6. We're very excited to be here. And we brought back a favorite, especially for the internet. Y'all went crazy for her. But we brought back Colette, professional dominatrix. And we're also welcoming today Ben, who is her submissive.
Thanks for having us back.
I know.
We're so excited. Can't wait to see what clips come out of this one. So,
and welcome, Ben. Have you done a podcast before? I'm curious.
No?
Okay. First experience. Wow. Okay. Hopefully.
Yeah. It'll be a fun.
Hope you like us. Yeah. Experience. I promise, by the way, if there's anything that you're like, I want to start over, whatever, we can always edit stuff out. So just let us know.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm awesome. Open
book.
Conversation. Yeah.
Love it. Well, I'd love to hear about how you two met and how this dynamic formed over the years. It sounds like you guys have known each other for a while.
Yeah, it's been over a decade.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just right in there.
You want to tell the story?
I guess quick and dirty is I had sort of restricted my play a little bit with another pro dom that was based here in LA. Mm-hmm. And I live up in the Bay Area and I just got too antsy. It was like, I need somebody local that I can just.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, was all in that worried state about, okay, how do I apply, you know, and present myself well so that this unbelievably phenomenal individual might want to play with me.
Yeah.
And so based on my family schedule, my work schedule, mm-hmm. Mr. Scalette's schedule, that it took 3 months for us before we actually finally got to play.
Yeah.
So.
And then Ben showed up and you were phenomenal. You were like, you just presented yourself really well as a sub and just so thoughtful and sweet and essential submissive. And I just really enjoyed your presence, your energy. And so we continued from there. And I would say Ben is one of my best dressed subs. Absolutely.
His outfit. Yeah.
And also through like a period of, I don't know how many years, you gifted me so much incredible luxury lingerie. Like all the Agent Provocateur that I have is mostly from Ben.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Soiree editions, which is like the next like tier of AP, and it's insane. I felt like you pretty much tapped out your savings buying me lingerie. And he would also do this thing where he would buy himself the matching outfit so that we would be twinning.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And so this piece that I have on today.
Yeah.
Is a soiree. Yeah.
She actually owns as well. And it was a little bit of a coup because only 8 pieces were made in the world.
Oh, wow.
And so for one store to acquire both pieces and then sell them to me was a little bit of a renegade move.
I love that.
And I mean, here I am just buying Honey Burdette. I need to.
I know, right? It's time to step it up.
I gotta step it up.
I love Agent Provocateur. Another one, Marie Muir is also one that I really love. Mm-hmm. And Aonessis.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with those?
Yes. Aonessis? Yeah. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but I love their.
I never know how to pronounce it either, but I love their stuff.
Cool. Okay, wait. I have to ask real quick. So, what is the application process like for a sub to apply to a dungeon?
For, or to apply and see a mistress?
Yes.
Well, for me at that time, it was just emailing me with a very thoughtful introduction.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I usually only reply to thoughtful messages that seem really sincere and also just revealing your personality through your words. So I dismiss all one line or two lines emails. And Ben was thoughtful and shared a lot about himself. And he just appeared very well on paper or an email.
Yeah. On email.
Yeah.
And this was at the dungeon that you were at. Was that the one that you originally started out at the beginning?
No, this was my own private dungeon. By the time that we connected, I already had my own dungeon.
Love that. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, so this was a pretty good ways into your...
Yeah, it was. I would say it's probably like, I don't know, 6 years into...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how many other like submissives did you have at the time in that dungeon?
Oh, during that time, it was... What year was it? 2000?
If we say 10 years ago, so 2000...
2013.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had quite a few subs and collared subs around that time. Hmm. It was like right before I got really burnt out and I was just like acquiring a lot of collared subs and slaves. And mm-hmm. And then I think around 2014, 2015 was when I got burnt out and like declared email bankruptcy and stopped seeing subs and new subs.
And you just kept the ones that you had already. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Interesting.
That's what I've been doing.
Wait, tell me a little bit more about the burnout. What did it stem from?
It was just, I couldn't say no. I just kept on wanting to say yes to all of the inquiries that came in, at least the ones that seemed thoughtful. I was just like, I think I was also just in a place of thinking that like acquiring more subs, more slaves, having more money is power. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why not? And I kept on just saying yes. And I would like take up to like 40 hours of sessions a week, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And because it's not just the session time, it's like the setting up time, getting yourself ready and then breaking down the space and cleaning the space. And then the correspondence and the emails and also maintaining a stable of like 6 collared subs was intense. And it just felt like all of my time was devoted to them, and I was a slave to my slaves, and I was actually built a dungeon for myself to be trapped in. And
a
literal metaphor. Yeah. And then I just decided to take care of myself, and I just asked myself, what did I truly want? And I just wanted to have space to dream bigger, to think about what I truly, truly wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm here now, teaching women to become DOMs.
Love it. I'm curious, at that time, were you like able to kind of sense that from her in your scenes, or do you feel like...
So I never had the privilege of being a collared sub anywhere except in session. And so for me... when I seen, I don't go into the scene with any sort of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me years to finally figure it out, but what I really enjoy is making the other person smile and having them be delighted with whatever. And so I would just show up and who knows what direction the play would go in. And so sometimes I would often... sort of see myself as a toy, and I want to be your favorite toy, and I want you to play with me.
Until I break you, and then put you back together and play with you again.
And that's perfectly fine. What would really frustrate me as a toy is if I got sat in the corner, faced the wall, and left there.
Oh, that's funny.
And not to be played with. And so then my purpose as a toy is... Unless that's what they were really into.
Yeah.
And so
it's funny because every single time that, you know, like we talk to, you know, whether it's submissives or DOMs, we're always like, what's your goal? And they all have the same goal of making the other happy.
Mm.
And I love that. I'm like, everyone just wants to make the other happy. Relationships would work so much better if that was everyone's goal. Just, I want to make the other person happy. I want to make the other person happy. And then you do.
I like that you like being a toy, because that's in my submission, that's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like to, you know, make the other person, you know, just super happy, I guess is the word.
And yeah, just be used and abused. Yeah.
And Ben does a really good job of like, when he says that he just wants to see me smile, like he will go through great lengths, like the thought that you put into everything that you do, even the way that he shows up in session. He knows that I love unwrapping him as a present. So he, you know, has bells. He comes with bells and whistles attached to his like cock and balls. And like he wears like 4 layers of AP lingerie that all seem to kind of seamlessly fit into each other. And when you take off each layer, another outfit appears. And it's just like, yeah, really amazingly exquisite.
Thank
how you.
You
show up as a perfect toy and present to unwrap.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Like unwrapping. I like the joy of unwrapping a gift.
It sounds endearing.
Yeah. What made you think to like layer it like that?
I have a lingerie fetish. So
okay.
Love it.
Starts things off, but then I would have to hide it, like when I was initially sessioning, and so I would leave from home. If it was during store hours, I would stop by AP.
Oh,
which
convenient.
There were 2 wonderful women there that helped me in all my
they
endeavors.
Know him very well. They're good friends now.
And would allow me to change there as well. And so then I would change, you know, out of my, you know, prim and proper attire and into how I would show up at the dungeon.
Cute little slut.
And then, you know, I would usually dress and cover up somehow as well. And so that's where the layering started.
The trench coat moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when I started going to play parties, that was like my dream come true. I'm like, I finally get to wear lingerie and with a trench coat over it and show up somewhere and just like,
exactly. You know?
It's so fun. I actually, you know, I had my mom for Christmas. I asked my mom for this big ass trench coat, and you know, she's probably thinking like, why does she need this in California? And then I remember whenever we were headed back home, I was like, yes. This is my coat for going to sex parties. Because now it's just, you can hide everything. My other ones were too short. Now I have a nice big one. So
nice.
I'm curious, everything that you guys did, was it always like, or at least when you did do scenes together, was it like in the dungeon, or did you ever do any like event kind of things where it was like more public?
It's now outside the dungeon a lot.
Oh, really?
Ben is one of my submissives that helps with mistress class. So he's part of the demos that I do. He's also one of the subs that all the mistresses can connect with and play with virtually and in person as well. So he's one of my training subs that is a dom whisperer.
Why the dom whisperer?
I don't know about that.
I think you bring out the doms in them.
Yeah, like, and that,
because you're a fun toy to play with.
And that's, you know, coming back and having, you know, conversations and potentially playing with people all across the spectrum of what they've been exposed to, their past experiences. And so whether or not, you know, they've been active in the BDSM scene for years versus somebody that hasn't had sex before. It's, you know, and then, you know, they're virtually sounding me online.
Nice.
It's been a delight to be able to help people along their journey.
How does a virtual session go?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, you lay out your toys for them. You tell them what's available, right? What's on the table?
It goes across the gamut. Some just like will have some scene in their mind, and so will be, you know, ask me to do some things ahead of the scene. Others will, you know, I'll schedule the time and they'll call me up, and then it's a conversation right then and there. And so, you know, what toys are available? I'm a gear gadget or a gear junkie. And so
he has all the toys.
There's plenty for them to play with. But sometimes, you know, there's still a little bit of timidness for some people. And so you know, sometimes it's just me spanking myself or me trying to learn how to belly dance, which is, which is, I can only imagine, either very humorous or very painful to watch.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's funny. Well, as a training sub, have there ever been any requests that you've gotten from a dom where you're just like,
No, I play pretty far across the board. There's a few things that I won't do, you know, my limits. I don't want any permanent marks. And then hooking, I can barely watch. I'm sort of like my daughters when they're watching kissing scenes in movies. Just like,
Oh my God.
I want to watch this, but I can't.
Like where they put
big hooks in your skin and, and suspend you from that.
Like I have a friend, one of our friends on the pod page, his submissive loves that. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
Wait, I'm curious. Have you tried hooking?
I have.
Okay, now I'm curious because I am also one of those people where it's like I want to look but I won't because it scares me. What is that experience like?
I've only done it to like testicles.
But
yeah,
what? I'm sorry. Where are you finding all these people that want to have?
Wait, are these the same dudes?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, so you hook the testicles.
Yeah.
And where do you? What do you hook it onto? Like anything or just like the hooks are just in there?
It's just like the hooks are in there. And then like if there's a nail to the board, then they would try to, like have the hook like so that it's like taut.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Hold on. Have you watched this in person or no? I'm curious.
Hooking in person?
Like if she's done it to someone else, have you watched it?
No.
Okay. No,
I have seen it. In other people, and this is where their entire body weight is being suspended by that hook, and so that's like that's where it gets too much for me.
For me, yeah.
And so I put people up in rope all the time, and you know, tying them up. And
how many layers of skin do you have to go through in order to suspend from that?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I haven't done the suspension with the hooking and the testicle sex.
Yeah.
FYI.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So limit would be no permanent marks. You and don't no like hooking. Hooks. What? Yeah. Any others?
There's some things, you know, when I play with Colette that I would normally have with limits if I'm playing with other people that I don't mind. You know, face slapping I don't care for, but if one pops up, it's okay with Colette. With other people, I would say, hey, checking in, what's going on?
Yeah.
But then there's one time I don't really like single tail whips. But in the name of education, right, I had one of
It was a demo for our single tail tutorial.
Demo, but also one of the class participants also was practicing on a pillow. And I said, okay to them actually trying to hit flesh for the first time. And so not as a scene, but as in the name of education, I was willing to take a lot of single tail whips. And so, but otherwise I wouldn't want a scene with those. Normally.
I'm also not a fan of I don't know if I've ever tried I guess are there ones that have the two? I don't know if I've tried that, but I'm not a huge fan of the whips. And however, if it is with a crowd of people in front of me and I am trying to be my best to be a good little girl that takes as much pain as possible, I will put up with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but sometimes like the exhibitionist in me will kind of bypass a few of my normal limits just for the sake of showing others how much pain I can take. I don't know if that's weird.
No, that's totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. It's a thing. It happens. Mm-hmm. But interesting. I like that you reserve like some things for, you know, like a specific person, for example, like how you said, like face slapping. I love getting hit across the face. However, I prefer, right? Don't tempt me. However, I do prefer it to be with someone that I do like fully trust.
Right.
Because the last thing I want is for them to. And one thing that I don't necessarily like teaching a guy how to slap me across the face, but I will do it in the name of education in case someone, you know, they ever slap someone else, you know how to do it correctly.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. So you guys used to do scenes together, and now that dynamic has changed to, you said, like, more of a friendship, and you assist with the classes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. What was that transition like? Especially, like, if you had spent quite some time doing scenes together. I'm curious. Was it just kind of a natural? Did it feel that way?
It felt natural to me.
Yeah, it's like things started evolving. Colette started wanting to take ownership of her own website. Mm-hmm. And so at one point we were sitting, we went to class together to learn how to code web pages.
Love that. Yeah.
And so not really a scene, but nonetheless, you know, supporting your desires.
Yeah, Ben has always been my cheerleader and fan and always supporting me in my desires. And so when I got burnt out and really just wanted to do something else, I had this vision of creating a really elaborate, labyrinthine website that had like mini rabbit holes. I'm like, I need to build this myself. And so Ben funded my courses and classes and helped me arrive at buildingprivet.com.
I love that. Yeah. I love this. So, like, you can, I don't know if our listeners will, like, I hope they do. I hope they can, like, pick it up, you know, on the screen when they see us or when they listen to it. But, like, just, like, the energy between you two. There's just so much, like, care that you can really see and, like, support for each other. I love that. Like, especially, like, when you had the same veil as well. And you were both like, ah, I thought that was the cutest moment. I know. I kind of want you to wear
it. Did you get the veil at the same time that...
No, you don't have to.
No, I'm happy to.
I just love it. Was it similar where she got it and you're like, okay, I want to match?
It's the same maker, yeah.
It's the same maker. And I picked it up after her. Is it too tight? No, it's good.
So you saw it and you're like, I want to have the same one.
Yeah, and I also, this maker also does a lot of feather work.
Oh.
And so I have a feather collar, as well as epaulettes, I guess,
that
come off the shoulders from them as well. And so, and then, of course, you might guess that I have a white color profile. And today it's navy, but normally it's royal blue.
Love that.
And so,
you really are the best dressed one.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Have you met any of her other submissives? The ball kneeling guys is the one I'm really curious about.
No, you haven't met.
No, I haven't met. Like, I've met a few of her other submissives. I've played with another one once in a session. And then otherwise, more at your parties
that
I've met others. And so.
And you, all of you get along really well. And
I love that. I would just be curious because just from like the sense of like I, you know, I've had dominance before where I met some of their other submissives.
Yeah.
And like sometimes it's just kind of fun to like, you know, you see kind of the difference between the dynamics, you know, that they each individually have. And it's almost like you kind of see a different side of your dom.
Right.
You know, when you see them with some of their different submissives. So I always enjoyed that piece of it whenever I had the opportunity to meet some of my other doms subs in the past. Usually it would be like at a social setting, like a sex party or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I like that experience.
Yeah. Do you ever get to like trade notes?
Not really. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I was like in when I dated the dom couple. So her and I were both, you know, his submissives, and there would be some times where we would kind of like, you know, talk about like things that he would do like individually with us or whatever, and like that was always fun. Or like she would give me like little tips and tricks about things that he likes, especially in the beginning because you know she knew him so well and I didn't. So she'd be like, oh, he really likes this, and then I'd be like, okay, mental note, thank you. But usually the others, it would be like at parties and it wasn't like a whole lot. But yeah, there it would be kind of like a camaraderie, you know, between everyone.
I like that. It kind of feels like a nice open kinky relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Wait, so what would you say was, well, I mean, you can each answer this individually, like your favorite scene together.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Wow. Let's see. It's been a while, but I feel like we have like rituals in our scenes. Mm-hmm. And so I remember like the rituals a lot. And like one of the rituals is like the unraveling of Ben and all of his layers and seeing what surprises he has underneath. And also, there was a period of time when Ben knew that I liked mint chocolate chip ice cream. He would make like homemade mint chocolate chip ice cream and like chocolate covered mint leaves and just like,
oh my God.
He's a sensualist. And so he would just bring all of this like lovely, indulgent, sensual food and lingerie. And it was just, the ritual just felt like this honoring me as this divine goddess, and I felt like that in our presence in our play.
Was the food involved in the play?
Yes. Nice. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
Oh.
And I've always, I mean, have I? No. I remember my dom, or my, well, the female dom, she wanted my male dom to like turn her pussy into like a gyro. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that sounds interesting. I remember when she was explaining it, they were both like super into it. And I was like, I would just be worried about BV or like something going wrong with the sauce in my vagina personally. But oh I get God. It. People like food play, and I think that's great, you know. So I'm here for it. I just prefer it outside of my vagina.
I personally. Yeah. Yeah. Can see that.
Have you ever had a food item go in
the sub?
No, in your vagina.
Or the sub.
Or yeah.
Definitely the sub. Not my own vagina. Okay. But yeah, I've done like figging, which is like kind of like ginger. Like if you whittle it down to a nice dildo like shape, or like even a more pointy shape, you could like insert inside their anus or inside their pee hole as well.
Ginger?
Wait, what? Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Does that burn?
Yes, that's the point.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. I've never heard of this.
Oh, really?
No.
And someone requested
look up
that.
Figging. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
F-I-G-G-I-N-G.
I want to write that down.
Okay, so you like kind
have
of like...
Have you had this done to you before?
I do it to myself quite frequently. Nobody
really?
Else has ever done it to me.
Do you like it?
It's a nice mellow burn. It's probably less intense than Bengay.
Wow. Wait, what's Bengay?
Or Icy
Bengay.
Hot?
Sorry, Icy Hot.
Yeah. Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to Icy Hot, but slightly different.
Can you put Icy Hot in your... So you can put Icy Hot in their pee hole to make it burn?
I don't put it inside, but with like Icy Hot, just kind of like all over their cock and balls. And,
wow.
Yeah. But,
nice. Ginger.
Yeah.
So shave it down, smooth it over.
Yeah. Exactly. And even like a jalapeno as well.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to try this, but I just don't know if I could find anyone that's going to be down. With the jalapeno. Wait, with the jalapeno?
I would be so curious.
Man.
Wow.
Because, well, I would actually cucumber. I feel like that would be soothing.
Yeah, that would be nice afterwards. That's not a bad idea. Wow.
Yeah. Especially with some aloe. Yeah. See, y'all make me feel vanilla as fuck. I'm over here like, I'm kinky. And then I start talking to you and I'm like, never mind.
I'll put a butt plug in a dude's asshole and then
never thought about ginger. Can't say I ever thought about ginger. But it makes sense so that the burning sensation, I actually want to know what that feels like a little bit. So you haven't tried it yourself?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah. Ben's tried it.
Yeah.
Oh.
All the time.
Okay.
Well, not all the time.
And it feels, and so it's like is it kind of like when you eat ginger and it has that slight like.
It has that little bit of heat or warmth to it is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where my pain threshold is to other people. And so I think everybody's different. And so for me, it's not like I'm going to start screaming, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. Yeah. It's just like, oh, that's a nice warmth I'm now aware of, you know, this other sensation.
To see that, I would feel safe trying because, like, it's like a natural food item, you know? Right. It's not like some, like, weird liquid that someone made that's like, oh, it's going to feel good, you know, like a lube.
Right.
So it's like that, actually, I think would be very interesting to try. That brings up a good question. So how, especially, like, in your training and, like, when you're... like training sessions with DOMs, like in the mistress classes, how do you prefer to teach, like how to like express or like gauge pain tolerance? Because I feel like, I mean, like, for example, I feel like I have a pretty high pain tolerance when I'm really turned on. Mm-hmm. It also just like depends like where I'm at in my turn on.
That definitely changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Based on where you're at in your play.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like having the scale of 1 to 10, being like one to ten. What is this right now?
And so that's great to calibrate with people on that. And then a great follow-up question to that is, where do you want to play today? Because maybe, okay, that's a 4 on their scale of 1 to 10. But today, that doesn't mean they want you to go all the way to 10 either.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I want to stay in that 4 to 5 range. Maybe I want to play in the 6 to 8 range. Mm-hmm. And so, especially when you're playing with somebody new, your job isn't to break them. You know, save that for another date.
Yeah, it's not going to be 10 every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 out of 10.
I remember my Dom, a lot of times what he would do is he would ask, he's like, where are you? And I'd be like, I'm out of a 4. He's like, where do you want to be? And I'd say, I'm go with a 4, or like, I want to be at a 3, or I want to be at a 5, and that would help him know. Because, I mean, yeah. I mean, the thing, though, for me as a sub in the beginning, a lot of times I'd be like, well, you know, I want to push myself.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, I'd kind of let him do that. But then once I would, then I'd be like, okay, you know what? Let's go back, because I didn't want to go that far. Yeah. And now I realize that, like, I kind of hit my threshold for the day, you know, because sometimes that was kind of a sliding scale. But, yeah.
Most of the time when I'm getting flogged, I just, like, if it becomes too much, I just raise my hand. But I feel like sometimes I just, like, try to push myself. And
well, because a lot of times you do it at parties. And I think at parties, people don't often take enough time to be, like, have a system to, like,
warm
gauge. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Warm up, or even just, like, how to communicate that, like, hey, this might be too much. Or, like, can we slow it down, whatever. And there's music blaring and people are talking and walking by and blah, blah, blah. There's always, it's just too much of a... It's a big environment, but I've always wanted to go to a dungeon. I feel like that would be so nice to be like in a relaxing space.
We should do a field trip up north to my dungeon.
I know. Yeah. Maybe that will be our goal for 2024.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I would like to. Okay. I would like to see what it's like to be in a dungeon. And I haven't like submitted in quite some time.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Okay. Let's make it happen 2024.
Mm-hmm. That'll be the goal. Okay, We never heard your favorite scene with Miss Collette.
I don't know if there's a favorite scene. There's definitely memorable moments that happen throughout different scenes.
Let's hear it. Or at least like one of the most memorable.
There's little things such as just create. I think creativity is what always pops into my head is being what's fun.
Well, it sounds like the both of you are incredibly creative, which is I really love.
And so one time I was in scene, I was hands above my head on a spreader bar. Collette had been flogging me for a while and, you know, and she's sensual as well. And so it's not just a standoff thing. And so, you know, she'll put her hand on my ass and feel how warm it is and, you know, whisper into my ear. And so all of a sudden, you know, and so I'm hard then and getting this attention. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm moving this incense stick under your cock.
Oh, wow.
Wait, what?
You need to keep your erection. Otherwise you're going to get burned.
Oh, okay. Surprise.
So it's like all of a sudden, you know, my mind is going in a completely different direction now about, oh, fuck, I need to maintain this, otherwise
it's going to get burned. That is creative.
And so it's not something huge and elaborate. It's something that was already in the dungeon. It was already burning, and it just got, oh, here. just new placement.
We'll put it right here. Yeah, new placement.
And so there's things like that. There was another time where I had come with, I forget if it was like maybe 3 or 4 gifts, and each gift was going to be dependent upon how the question was answered.
Oh.
It was, the first question was, do you trust me? And so just a yes or no answer, and then, you know, that would lead to subsequent receipt. And then the follow-up question was, do you trust yourself? And in the end, she got all the gifts anyway. But but what ended up proceeding was me putting on, I don't know if you want to call it a lingerie or dress, your gold chainmail.
Oh, yeah.
It's piece.
It's this really incredible agent provocateur piece that's like all gold, like medallions mm-hmm. put
yeah.
together. It's like a museum piece.
Love it.
He has one and I have one too. Yeah.
But then I also gifted her 2 floggers.
Yeah.
And then, if she trusted herself when she answered affirmatively to that, I then asked her to blindfold and then flog me with them.
That
was some of the consequence of, you know, the questions and where it went.
And that just, is so cute and so thoughtful.
And so
I want to see this closet.
Yeah. No. Do you have a picture or like you should, because I know you do a lot of content on social media. I want to see
That's
some of these
good
matching
idea.
Outfits.
I haven't revealed all of my lingerie and fetish wear.
Do a closet haul.
Okay.
Because I know people would love to see it.
Okay.
Because I actually look through, like, anytime I think about going to buy something new that's like, you know, kinky or BDSM, I usually go to your page and see what you're wearing and then just go look through the tags.
Okay. All right.
So.
Okay. Then I'll do a post just for.
Yeah. I think people would love that.
Okay.
When did your lingerie fetish begin?
For me, a long time. The question I think was, when did I turn to actually wearing it for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. It was sort of funny. It was my ex I had bought a swimsuit for, and she decided it was too expensive, didn't like it, whatever. And so I went to return it, only store credit. And so then it was, okay, I'm going to get this lingerie piece instead.
Mm.
And so then I took it back, and it's like, she was complaining that it was too expensive. Well, I'm just going to keep it for myself. Oh. And so I started wearing it, and that was sort of my progression into high-end lingerie.
I love that.
And so consequently, you know, I love pumps.
Yeah.
Not too many people like wearing them, and so I have subsequently started going through the torture process myself.
I love it. We actually have a really good friend of ours who's a male submissive, and he loves, like, whenever his wife shops, he'll buy some very similar things that he loves, putting on a dress and heels and cleaning the house. And I remember he actually came to spend New Year's Eve with us, and they both went to go get pedicures, and he's like, I really want to get my nails done. And that was like the first time he'd ever tried it. So he went and got his nails done, and I know, like, he'll always buy underwear from, like, you know, he always jokes he has fancier underwear than she does. And I love it. And so it's really nice to, like, see when men are like, you know what, I like this and I'm going to wear it and I love it and look phenomenal in it.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, I think it's very empowering.
Yeah,
also, pumps are hard to wear. Try platforms.
Right.
I think platforms are easier.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying platforms were harder. I was like, no, not at all.
I found that 5 inches I can only keep on for about 2 hours. But if I go down to 3 inches, then I can wear them for about 8 hours or so.
Makes sense.
Nice.
I can't remember the last time I wore heels for 8 hours.
Yeah, but I feel like Ben has this incredible endurance for wearing fetish wear way longer than I could possibly wear. Like, you could wear your corset for like the duration of a whole party of 6-7 hours. I can't.
Yeah. What's typically your threshold?
I would say probably 2 hours at most.
2 hours, yeah. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Especially with latex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some fetish wear is hard to... I remember when I had that latex skirt on for our live show, I was like... I mean, because I was wearing it for at least 3 hours. And at the end of it, I was just like, get this off of me. Because I couldn't do it. Now, but it is a nice skirt.
We did ask, because since you were coming back, we did ask some of our listeners if they had any questions for you.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll wrap up with these two, because I know these were the two that we got the most of. And so I was going to ask what would be, and you can both answer this as well since you both do the courses, your like top three tips for beginner DOMs.
Okay. Top three tips. I think it's just to really remember that it's about play.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of DOMs get, or beginner DOMs get hung up that you have to know everything and do everything right because you're the DOM, so you should know everything. But you should really approach it as it's just play. And with play, it means that you can mess up. It just means that you should just be honest mm-hmm. about your level of experience, and it could be none. And that's totally okay. I like to say that the way to overcome imposter syndrome is to not fake it till you make it, or not think that way. It's to act as if until you are. Act as if you're a powerful DOM until you are.
And love that. I like that. That's a great way to word it. Ben, do you have any words for aspiring DOMs?
I think some of the conversations, some people feel that they don't have the attire, that they don't have the gadgets.
Yeah.
And in reality, if you're playing with DS, the dominant submission mm-hmm. spectrum, you don't need the toys or the gadgets. It's, you know, that power exchange difference. If you're in play, there's all sorts of pervertibles, you know, from your hands for spanking to ginger, to wooden spoons, or, you know, to
your belt.
Yeah. And so there's all sorts of different things, and you don't have to have all of it. Mm-hmm. What you have on your body is perfectly capable to have a wonderful scene.
And I would also add that you wouldn't know if you're a great DOM until you actually play with a sub. Mm. I always tell the DOMs in my class that the DOM comes out when the sub shows up. So if you never have a sub to play with, you won't know what kind of DOM you are, or even if you had that power and that naturalness to just be a DOM. But when you see, or when you play with a sub who is just so submissive and willing to let go and surrender, you will find there's some part of yourself that comes out naturally. Mm. And the more submissive they are, the more dominant you will feel. Mm-hmm. And you'll like, just like a dance, find your way through this flow. And so you won't know until you play with a sub. And it also depends on the subs. If you have like a veteran sub to play with, it's better than a new sub who also doesn't know exactly how to let go or submit. Mm-hmm. So I think like to have that exposure to many subs, from like newbie subs to experienced subs, you'll start to feel like, oh wow, I have a different side of my DOM self that comes out when I play with this sub versus this sub. Mm-hmm. And so
I love that. And then we actually had a lot of questions. It's not as insightful as that, but have you guys done any chastity play?
Yeah.
There's so many questions about it. People are just asking like what benefits or like how to go about it. That is like one of the top questions we always get about male submissives.
Okay.
Is chastity play. So yeah. I'm curious what any beginner tips.
Beginner tips is know that the search for the cage is going to be trial and error. Like you'll go through many cages.
Okay.
I think for a lot of subs, you know, like you'll find that maybe one fits you nice, like nice and snug, but then when you go to bed, it slips out. Or you might need to get one custom made. And the range of how much a cage can cost can be from, you know, $100 to $10,000. And the creme de la creme of chastity cages, I think, is Steelworks. They make the best.
Wow.
Yeah, they make the best cages. If you ask any sub in chastity that's wearing one, they love the feel of it. Wow. And it's worth the weight and the price tag, which is like $3,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not expect them to be that much. Ben, have you played with a cage?
I've played with a cage. I have not done chastity play per se with a cage.
So. Yeah. And then I would also say, like, just work your way up. Like, you know, if it's like you have never gone a week, or like the longest you've gone without an orgasm is a week, then maybe push yourself to 2 weeks, and then don't go from like 1 week to like 2 months. Just keep, you know, building it up. And it also helps to keep a journal.
Yeah.
And share that with your mistress, I think, so that they could see how, like, the waves of desires and, like, fixation, obsession with your key holder kind of, like, wanes and ebbs and flows.
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's beautiful. Yeah. Like, to keep a journal.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
I think that would be so neat to record, too.
Yeah.
Like, how you're feeling. That's what I would do. Yeah. Anyways, well, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
That was a great conversation. Like I said, and I hope people can see this when they listen or when they watch, but like the dynamic that you two have, you can tell just kind of like the comfort and the friendship that you guys have developed in over 10 years, which is amazing. I'm curious, where do you see the future of your relationship?
I just think it's going to keep on deepening. I feel like Ben knows me outside of the dungeon. He knows like all my different personas and sides of myself. And the more that I grow and expand, I feel like Ben is growing with me as well. And so it's really just amazing to see how you evolve in your journey from, you know, sub to switch and beyond, and likewise.
I love that. Yeah. What about you?
Our relationship, continuing to be a cheerleader. It's the work, Mr. Scalette or Glad is doing is I find phenomenal. And so there were many things that happened over the course of our relationship that she'd never tasked me with anything, but I just read into some of her journals and other prompts that I saw that I then did things for myself based off of that. And so I think it's, you know, I get to be part of this incredible individual's journey. And so it's wonderful.
I love that. And where can people find you if you want to be found?
Yeah. You don't have to plug yourself, but if you want to.
You could find me on Instagram at Colette Prevette, Domino Colette.
And we'll tag you as well. And Ben, for you, if you'd like, if not, yeah, you're okay.
I'm on Instagram. I'm Syncognitoy, is the long at handle. Incognito with an S in the front and a Y at the end.
Love that.
And Syntoy for short.
I like Toy. That's very cute. I love it.
And y'all know where to find us. At Double Teamed Podcast, at Cami and Nikki, doubleteampodcast.com. All the links are there. Wear condoms.
And thank you guys for joining us in this new year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.